I really believe that's true, though, when we have those moments when we're praying for someone, and if someone receives a touch at that moment, we need to hear it, because it just builds faith in the house, right? And then we go to our next cue from the Holy Ghost from that. I've seen that, and it's such a powerful thing in meetings when that happens. So awesome to respond. Hallelujah. Well, that's great. So a few things to say before I get into my message. We'll say, is April here? I thought she left already. Oh, so April and Donald's last Sunday with us. And Ryan, I saw Ryan somewhere around here. So we just say goodbye to them. We prayed for them a few weeks ago as a whole family before Dominic left, because he flew out, right? But just want everybody to be aware this is their last Sunday with them. And so blessings upon them as they travel and relocate. God watch out for them. So remember to say goodbye to them if you have a chance after church. Couple other things. Couple other shop keys. You know, I always thought elders were supposed to have the pastor's back. You know, I always thought that, right? You know, it's sort of me and my naivety or whatever, you know, I sort of thought, you know, they watch for you, right? They take care. So I'm in the water tank, and guess who's the first guy there to throw a ball at me? This guy over here. I even tried that on him, right? I went over to him. You know, I thought you're supposed to have my back, you know, and so forth. He just looked at me with a twinkle in his eye, and he's throwing the ball up. Get in the water, man. I got you. There's a picture online that his daughter posted. Boy, you could see him just winding up. And then Cheryl goes by, and I saw her going by, and so I thought I'd mock her. You know, I says, "Oh, you couldn't hit me." So she came over. Well, she sure is. When I talk, she got me. Bam, two balls, right? And then Shelly scared me. She wind up like she was playing on the ball field, and I thought, oh, look out. Anyway, and a few others as well. Anyway, it was good, and some money raised. What's that? Yeah, you would have got me, too. You got me last year.
That's okay, Stan. I was thinking about you. I was thinking about really hot, and I should bring some ice.
Yeah, you did say that to me, too. Yeah, that's a nice guy. Anyway. So that was the Cops for Cancer thing yesterday. So anyway, great day, nice parade, I thought, and good turnout, a lot of people there. So it was a good day. So we're in the parade, and we had that, and then of course there was the theater last night and Friday night as well. Great productions there, and it was very good, and it's just a good day and a good weekend. So thank God for all of that. I'd like us to look into the Word of God together. So if you have your Bible, please. Turn with me, and we would like to look into the Gospel of Luke chapter 12, and I would like to read this parable, this story in the Bible today. We'll start in the 16th verse of Luke chapter 12. It says this, "And he told them this parable, the ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops.' Then he said, 'This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns, and I'll build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it'll be with anyone who stores up things for himself or herself, but is not rich toward God.'" God, touch his word to our hearts. You know, it's good when somebody comes up and we pray for the word, to agree and to pray. When we read our Bibles daily, to open the word and to pray. And recently, my prayer has shifted a bit as I pray in my daily devotions, and I'm opening up the word. You know, and God gives you new prayers, new thoughts, and I just pray and I say, "Lord, may your word today," I'll pray something like this every morning lately, "and Lord, may your word bring fresh life to me today. May your spirit release healing to me today. May your Spirit give me energy today. May your Spirit, as I read your word, may its word saturate my mind, my soul, my body. As I read it, Lord, that my skin, which I've been struggling with a rash thing, that it will be healed as it receives the word. For you indwell every cell within my body. Lord, in Jesus' name, I receive life. I receive energy. I receive strength. As I just break the bread open, I'm here with the Spirit. So Spirit, baptize me fresh. Right? Something like that. Yeah? Isn't that good? So use your own language, but you're at the table with God, right? When you open the Word. Remember that. So back to what we're looking at. I've entitled my message, Building My Own Barns. Building Your Own Barns. And it's a story of an interesting story. You know, if we'd backed up a few verses, we would have read about how a man comes to Jesus. And he says, Jesus, can you go talk to my brother? Tell him to divide the inheritance with me. It's not right. To which Jesus says, who made me a judge over you and your brother? But then as Jesus so often did, he took the opportunity to do a teach and to speak to something much greater than the inheritance that he was concerned and to work into the motivations of his heart and to address the motivations of the hearts of so many people that heard this interaction, right? And so he spoke to it. And so as he told this story, and he tells the story of a man who, you know, here he is, and he has an amazing crop. You know, best crop he's ever had his whole life, like probably that most people had. Just phenomenal crop that year. And he's just overwhelmed by it. He says, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Never had a problem like this before. Wow. You know, look all I got. Oh, I know what I'll do. I will build bigger barns and silos. Didn't say silos, but if we're Saskatchewan, we'd say that. And I'll store all the grain, and then I'll be set for life. I'll have lots, and I won't have to be thinking about the future, and I can relax, and I can take trips to Florida, and I can go down to Mexico, and I can go to Hawaii, or wherever it is you want to go. You know, and all this stuff, and, you know, I'll do this in the winter, and that in the summer, and, you know, I still farm, but it'll take all the pressure off, you know? Love it. That's what I'm going to do. So he builds them, he does it. And so Jesus said, called him a fool, because unknown to that man, tonight his soul will be required, and he passes away, and then all that he has done for himself, what good will that do him as he moves into eternity? So it's a powerful lesson. One of the things that I want to talk about is, as I look at that message today, is I wonder what drove him. What was driving him? What was driving him? What was his drive? And perhaps even more importantly, to ask ourselves the question, what's driving me? What drives you? What drives me? Jesus said a variety of things with that in mind. He talked about worry. And so in Luke chapter 12, and in the 22nd verse, Jesus said this, right after that story, he said, then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore. Therefore is a powerful word built on what's been said. I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat, about your body, what you'll wear. Life's more than food. Life's more than the stuff you got. He goes on to that area. But he addresses them, and so one thing he talks about in the crowd is he says is worry. He said, don't worry. He addresses that area. And then as an example of that, as he talks about, now don't worry. You know, like when we think about the guy in the barn, and one of the things in him and in people's lives that would cause them to move in that direction is worry. He says, don't be motivated in your life, especially when we're dealing with stuff that deals with not just today, but direction in our life. Don't be motivated by worry. Then he says, look at creation. Look what God's made. Look what the Father made. Look around you. And it's a good exercise. It's easy. It's an easy thing for us to do, right? You know, look around us, you know. I tease my daughter once in a while. She lives downtown Vancouver. And so she'll send me these pictures, you know, the sunset or the sunrise and so forth. And you can barely see it because of all the high rises. So then I'll say something, you know, that a Port McNeilite person would say, you know, in response that I can't see it because all the high rises or something, right? You know, or whatever. But she just loves the city. We moved to Victoria and she thought that was a bit small. She just likes the inner city of Vancouver very, very much. That's my eldest. And, but anyway, the point is, look at what God did. That's what Jesus said. Look at what God made. Look at what's happening. And he says, look at the birds. Look at the flowers and the plants. Observe. Right? Do you see them worrying and fretting? He says, there's much more going on than you realize. We have the living God watching over us. Did you know in Colossians chapter 1 that it says that Jesus Christ, he holds very atoms together. He holds it all together. Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, 18. He holds it all together. And you look at an atom and you look at what's in it and you wonder, why doesn't it explode? Why doesn't it just... It's because the very Creator is holding everything together. And you look at the systems, the ecosystems, and all these various things that are going on and so forth. Who's holding it all together? As a Christian, when we look it out and we turn on our faith, right? And we allow ourselves to touch Him, we recognize that, yeah, as Jesus said, look at creation. That's one thing we can do, and to recognize that He has got us in the palm of His hand. And He knows the beginning from the end. Right? He's watching out for us. And so that's a piece of where He was going. So he talks about that. But what else could drive a person? Jesus addresses wealth and possessions. Luke chapter 12, verse 20 and verse 21, where it says, He says, but God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God. And so he talks about wealth. He talks about possession. In the case of this man, it was a farming community, so he's talking about it in farming terms within the parable. But we can just adjust that, right, to the reality of what we hold as money and as possessions and so forth within the context of where we live on the North Island of Vancouver Island. Then he says, do you know what it says in the New Living Translation in Luke chapter 12 and in the 15th verse? It says, life is not measured by how much you own. And that's good that he reminds us of that. So what's he saying? Do not let the stuff. Do not let material things define you. You are not defined by that, right? You are not defined solely by your career or so forth. When I was taking my master's program in there, when we go together for our times of interaction with the group, and we there, Dr. Reinhard, one time, he says, okay, now we're going to do an exercise. I'll start. And he says, we're all going to define ourselves. We're all going to say who we are as if we are meeting each other for the first time. But you're not allowed to say this. You're not allowed to say that. Because what do? You know, first thing we do is, oh, so what do you do for a living? You know, right? You know, or whatever, right? Or, what? You know, there's certain things we do, right? And so he took those all out. Then he went in and he talked about himself. He talked about him in the context of who he was, in the context of the dream that God had given to him, in the context of the core values that he held dear, just said two or three little things. But it was all in the reality of who he was, not what he had, right? Or not what he did. And it was a very refreshing exercise. You know, I mean, you had to sit there for a minute and think, right? Because we're so used to kind of moving in that kind of direction. But Jesus says, life is not measured by how much you own or what you have. Don't let material things define you. Or define what your priorities are and what your interests are. That's all what he's talking about. He said, really, this stuff is temporary. Remember that. And the story of the parable is helping us to recognize that that's just stuff. It gets, you know, you hold it and it's there and it feels so permanent, right? But it's stuff. And it isn't really as permanent as our physical body and mind likes to make out like it really is. It's temporary. Such a tragedy took place in Fredericton, New Brunswick. Two officers, members of the police force there in Fredericton, 105 members in the Fredericton department. So, relatively small group. And so two of their own were tragically taken. The families, they had a celebration of life, funeral service, memorial, whatever word you want to use for it. They had a regimental funeral on Saturday for them. And you know, their spouses and their family expected to see them that night, right? That day, as did everybody else. How tragic, how tragic. We don't know what the next day holds, really. We know we're in the Lord's hands, though, right? I recall Margaret's sister-in-law, Margaret Stobie. She died tragically in an accident a number of years ago. Maybe 15 years ago, I can't remember for sure what it was, but she was T-boned. She was doing a good deed. She was taking a dresser or something from her house 2 miles through the farming area down to another house, and as she went along gravel kind of road, there was a stop sign here, and somebody came through it at 50 miles an hour, something like that, and just plowed into her. She died instantly. And so I can remember being at her funeral service, singing at her graveside. Lots of questions. But what I'm addressing with that, and to go there, is the fact is, Jesus, what I'm trying to bring us back to is, and we all got stories, but what I'm trying to bring us to is what Jesus said, you know, of the man here at the barns. He says, listen, he said, this man is storing all his stuff for him, and his life could be gone tonight. What good is all that stuff? Really, that's what he's saying, right? And so what he's trying to say is invest in that which cannot be taken from you, is really what he's trying to say. And then he goes on and he talks about worry, then he talks about fear. Because fear is another thing that grips us. In Luke chapter 12 and in the 32nd verse, he said, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. That's beautiful. It really is. We often look at it as, I've got to take care of myself. And that is part of our, within the culture and the reality of our life, in the sense of we feel that, we're impacted by that and others around us and even with our own mind, but there's this thought, I got to take care of myself. You know, like it can manifest in so many ways, not just material things, but even in the way I do things. Like I could allow my mind, for example, to take me to a place in my involvements. I don't have time to be a chaplain. I don't have time to serve at the Legion. I don't have time to do this, or I don't have time to do that. We all can do that, right? With the various areas of involvement. I don't have time to serve, right? You know, Miles gets up and talks to us about Better Home sometime, which he will do again, and about how wonderful it was to serve. And somebody will say, well, I don't have time to help. Or Terrence gets up and he talks about transportation. I don't have time. Maybe the Spirit of God's drawing you, right? We have to follow what God's leading us to do. But you say, well, no, Lord, I can't, because, you know, I got other things to do. Well, we all got other things to do, right? You know, isn't that right? But what's God called us to, and where has he called us to serve, and what has he called us to do within our lives? And Jesus challenges us with this stuff. What drives us? People live, and we live. Hang with me, it'll get better. We live with by life metaphors in our lives at times that become unspoken life metaphors. Sometimes they're spoken, sometimes they're unspoken. But we live by various views in our lives. We hold them sometimes consciously or unconsciously. And it becomes evident that we do by our responses and the way we interact with others. It determines sometimes our relationships. It sometimes determines our expectations and our values. So here's a list of a few life metaphors that people hold. Some are spoken, some unspoken. Life's a circus. Some people say that. Other people say, life's a journey. Some people say, well, I think life's like a roller coaster. Somebody else says, I don't think so. I consider life a marathon. So they value endurance, right? Go for the long pace. Somebody else says, life's a game of cards. You just got to play the cards you're dealt. And they live their life that way. Somebody else says, well, in my mind, life's a gamble. Speaking of that, remember downtown, it was Gus's pub one day having a beer, and I was sitting there with, am I allowed to say that? And anyway, I was down there, and I know I am. Anyway, but I'm down there at Gus's, and I'm visiting with the guys, getting to know them, we're interacting. Anyway, so they get to know me after a while. I haven't been there for a while. I need to do that again. But anyway, so I'm down there, and this one guy, he says to me, he's playing the lotto, right? He says to me, he comes over to me, he's played a lot. He says, in front of a couple of buddies, he says, Stan, if I win the lotto, I'll buy the church a new steeple. And I'm thinking, I don't want a steeple. You know, it was like this bargaining with God. In other words, if you say one for me, throw one up for me, pastor, you know, kind of stuff like that. And kind of this bargaining thing, right? You know, I'll give you something, right? You know, and I just, of course, I knew what he was saying and where he was at. I just laughed and we kind of went on. him or me. But, you know, the dream to, often getting into that whole area, the dream to win the lotto or the lottery so you can take it easy, to be honest, is a questionable motivation. It is a questionable life metaphor. It really is. To enjoy myself without concern for the future or for people around me is something less than what God called you to be. I'd rather get up every day and go after the dream God has for me, because that's attainable. I'd rather discover what the dream is the Lord has to me and then put my resources to that. Because that's a sure thing. If you want to use life as a gamble, that's a sure bet. It is. So Jesus said, that's a wrong goal. You got your ladder up against the wrong wall, to use that terminology. All of that is. But these things affect us, directly or indirectly. Or we think, life's a party. It's another life metaphor that people live by. And I know people like that. So if you think life's a party, then your primary value will be to have fun. And for the next opportunity to have fun. Now I like to have fun too. Who doesn't like to have fun, right? But I'm saying if that's the full focus, then the party scene becomes your full focus in life. Life is a carousel. Sometimes you're up. Sometimes you're down. Sometimes you just go round and round, you know? You know, what is it that touches you? So what's your view of life? What are your life metaphors? What's going on inside you? Maybe it is possible that you need to tweak your viewpoint. You may have a faulty metaphor or one that got a bit messed up because of the fact that we live in a world with all kinds of ideas, right? And one of the things we do when we spend time together, and one of the things we do when we open up this every day and we say, Lord, touch me. Sometimes I'm praying too, Lord, touch me, refresh me, renew me, pour life into me. Lord, help me with my priorities. Lord, help me with this mind. That's one of the things I pray too. Lord, bring my mind in alignment with your eternal mind. Bring my mind in alignment, because I got lots of stuff pulling me in different areas. Bring me in again, right? Bring me in alignment. And so Jesus is addressing all this stuff. So let's look at Jesus' counsel a little bit for a few minutes. Luke chapter 12 and verse 31, as the story progresses. Luke chapter 12 and verse 31. And here we see this. Luke 12, verse 31. Very cool. Jesus said, but seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. So what does Jesus say? He says, here's what it's all about. Seek the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus said. He spent so much time talking about the kingdom. Seek the kingdom. You know, it says this in the message. You got to love the message. Just kind of makes it very practical, right? You know? So in the Message Bible, Peterson put it this way. He said, steep yourself in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. That's pretty good. Say it again. Steep yourself in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. And that is a good thought, following the kingdom. So Jesus said it. Then he says, what else did he say? Well, in verse 34, Luke chapter 12, he follows it up and he says, invest in the treasures of heaven in your life as well. What you treasure, Jesus goes on to say in Luke 12, 34, what you treasure, it'll capture your heart. That's just how life works, Jesus said. The greatest teacher who ever lived said that. Whatever your treasure will capture your heart. It'll capture your focus. It'll capture your values. The best investment, if you want to talk investments, is the kingdom. You know, reminds me of a story. I was in the Apostolic Church in Regina a number of years ago. I still remember the story. Guy speaking, his name was Chuck Smith. He was from Costa Mesa, California. And he gets up and he bought a new car. Never had a new car. He was so excited. And so the dealer made a deal with him or whatever. Anyway, and so he got everything he wanted on it, all the stuff that he wanted. He was so excited about it. And he was so excited the day he came to go pick up his new car. So he goes down to the dealership, gets his car. It's all ready for him. Picks up his new car. So excited. Anyway, so he gets it, and he goes up. And on his way home, his dear wife had asked him to go by the corner store and pick up a gallon of milk and some cheese or something. So anyway, so he goes. I remember he said it was milk. Anyway, so he goes in, and he stops, and he goes in, and he gets the milk. Well, he comes back out. You know what? Couldn't believe it. His car was still there, but somebody had opened their door and touched the side of his, and hit the side of his car, and there was a scratch on his door. He couldn't believe it. He lost all his joy. He said, he couldn't believe it. He was so upset, so angry. A brand new car, and I got a scratch on the door. He goes home. His son comes out. Dad, let me see the new car. It's so exciting. You've been waiting so long. And there it is. Have a look. Well, what's wrong? And he said, well, what's wrong, Dad? It looks beautiful. It's a lovely looking car. He says, well, look on this side over here. It's a scratch. Sees the one over and he's trying to find the scratch, right? Sees it. He says, can you believe it? Some people are so inconsiderate. Somebody, when I went to get a gallon of milk, Mom asked to get a gallon of milk, must have come up, parked his car beside mine, opened his door, wasn't thinking, hit the side of my new car, put a dent or a little bit of a scratch, put the scratch, this huge scratch in his mind into it. Can't believe it. Believe what some people would do. I can't believe it. That's just ridiculous. So he's all upset and so forth. You know what his son did? You know, it's wonderful when you raise your children and they
actually start to reflect things you've been teaching them, and then they speak them back into your life. Kind of hurts, actually. but anyways, his son looks up at him and says, "Dad," big smile on his face, "it's all going to burn." To which he kind of went like this, and he turned to him and he smiled and said, "Thanks, son, I needed that." But again, you know, we can get so tied to our things and to our stuff that it really can affect us. And so Jesus says to us, keep your treasure, what you really treasure. See, God doesn't mind us having, you know, we've all heard this, but God doesn't mind us having stuff. He just doesn't want the stuff to have us, right? Keep your treasure where it should be with the Lord. But you know, it's more than stuff, I believe, that's being talked about here in this story. More than stuff. If you value a relationship and the relationships you have, you think about those relationships from time to time in the reality of eternity and the eternal aspect of that eternal soul that is a friend of yours in a relationship. You think of stuff like that because that's kingdom stuff, right? That's kingdom stuff. That's kingdom stuff. You think about your walk with Christ. You think about, am I becoming more like Him, Jesus? You think about, what are the dreams? Dreams are spiritual stuff. Spirituality is dreams. That comes of the Spirit, right? Your dream, your dreams, that's spiritual stuff. You think about your inner life. All these kinds of things are more. You recognize kingdom stuff is about, Jesus spoke about verse 33. He said, sell your possessions and give to the poor. What's he talking about there? I believe you can't minimize what he's talking about. He's talking about that. But within that reality, he's also speaking about giving your life. Giving your life. He's talking about stuff like better at home. He's talking about transportation ministry, which we do in our church as well. He's talking about serving isn't just about physical needs. It's about touching the eternal souls, right? And those are examples that I meant, but there's others that we take because we all are involved in different ways. It's about ministering in the church is a part of that. Ministering out there, but ministering here as well. That's an eternal thing. That we're making an eternal investment, right, in people's lives. By ministering, by finding our place, by being involved. See, because we come here to encourage each other. We can go out there, right? Bless people around us. It's asking, how can I use my gifts to help others? Don't worry about having enough possessions, energy, or time. See, the fellow building barns, he was concerned about preserving his possessions, preserving his energy, preserving his time, preserving his future, right? Jesus, don't let worry get you. Don't let fear get you. Don't let possessions get you. Another thing you could say that we could include in here is he's saying, within the reality of self-care, is serving and giving, right? There is something profound that happens to me when I get my eyes off me. There is something profound that is released when I begin to serve other people. There's something that it does within the reality of my brain and my psyche when I serve others. I had another friend who was an accountant in Souris, Manitoba. This is go back to years, but I just remember it comes back to me. And he had a really heavy load as an accountant in the community where we lived. And so you know what he did? Every Thursday night, he wasn't at that point even a believer, but he figured it out. Because kingdom principles are kingdom principles. And he figured it out. And that is every Thursday night he went up to the old folks' home and he served. He went up there and helped people that had limitations. And he talked to him about that. He says, you know what keeps me going? Every Thursday night, I go up to the seniors facility and I go up and I help them. You know what happens? I come home after a couple hours and I feel better. I feel like I've got so much and I'm so blessed. I have good health. I have this. I have that. Not everybody does. There's something about serving that releases stuff. But it's a kingdom principle. It's also true that, you know, we get, Lord, fill me, fill me. Lord, fill me. Lord, fill me. Lord, fill me. Lord, fill me. But the Lord fills us, yes, but he fills us that the flow. There's no room sometimes for God to fill us because we got to take out what we got and let it out there, you know, and minister to people. And you know, isn't that right? It's all the way it works, right? And so Jesus is saying to them, just don't be so preoccupied with getting. In fact, there's a verse in the Message, wouldn't you know it, that actually says that. It says in Luke chapter 12 and verse 29, what I am trying to do here is get you to relax. Not be so preoccupied with getting so you can respond to God's giving. I like that. That we relax in Him, and as we give of ourselves, we're able to receive more of the kingdom in our lives. And so Jesus said that. He wasn't trying to say this stuff to box people up and make them feel contained and like they weren't going to have a good life. He was trying to release the kingdom. He was trying to release them. He was trying to bring more blessing to them. He's trying to say, I would free you from worry. I would free you from fear by freeing you in this way, by helping you to get this concept in your mind. You will find more of the kingdom of God flowing in your life. You will find more of Jesus Christ and more of his Spirit in your life, and you'll find the fulfillment. Do you know what our church did a few days ago? This is an example that just booted out of the park for me for the whole week. I was so excited. Because, we were talking to the board of directors. Bless our board. Good guys and gals. Well, yeah, guys and gals. We have both, thank God. Okay, so anyway, so we're talking, and we got a piano, an extra piano over here. And, so we decided as a board, well, we're getting a new piano, so let's gift the old one. Let's find a charity we could give it to. So, I was trying to figure out, I had an idea. So I go over, somebody suggested at the board, go over, you know, talk to one of the ladies who's the daughter of a lady who runs the Happy Gang. So I thought, I'll go over to the detachment. So anyway, so I go over to the detachment because Jody works over there. So I go over to the detachment and I start talking to Jody because I was trying to get her mom's name for the Happy Gang. Anyways, and so I'm talking with her. And then I just, in the middle of a sentence, I just change the whole thing. There's three ladies there, so forth. And I says, does anybody know somebody in the community, some charity that we can bless our piano to? We want it that, oh, I didn't use the term bless, that's kind of religious. But, you know, I just said, we could give this, that it would be an encouragement to them. We have this piano, still works well, but we just wanted to upgrade ours. Somebody that could use it and so forth, right? And PETA, she says, well, the elementary school, what's the teacher? Pardon? Yeah. It, Oregon? Do you have an Oregon? That is in Port Hardy. Yeah, hey, thank you. Is that right? Cool. So anyways, so she says, phone Mr. Kevin Ogren. And because, you know, he has a very limited budget, and they have a music program, yeah. Right? And then Bonnie says to me, that'd be a great idea. I says, well, write his name down. You can look him up on social media. So anyway, so she wrote it. See? So I come back from the detachment. I go over here and looked up Kevin, give him a call. Well, he was delighted. Like, he thought, oh, I only get $200 a year, you know, for music program, and I'm trying to teach the kids all this music and stuff. And I thought, phenomenal. Our church would just love to give it to the program and so forth. Well, he talked to me for quite a while on the phone. He was so excited that he phoned over and he talked to PETA and he talked to Bonnie, you know, from the detachment. He was just so thrilled, you know, that they would recommend it and so forth. So he'll be picking it up within a few days and so forth. But I thought, I love music. I love the arts. I love music. You know, my brain, I'm getting older. It takes me longer to learn stuff, you know. So if you can get young people to just explore the arts and explore music, good on them, right? So we're blessing them. Well, that made my whole day. I was walking around if I was higher in a kite, you know, just all day. Why? Because I was a piece of helping people, right? I was a piece in that, right? Our church was a piece in that. Does that make you feel good? Yeah. So here we are. We're blessing our town. We're blessing people around us. But there's all I'm saying in that is that there's something about getting your eyes off of this and off of my barn and building better barns and protecting what I have and thinking about people around you and touching them or praying for their sicknesses to be gone or whatever God puts you in front of you, right? And you walk away and think, thank you, Lord, that I was a piece of your plan today. You know, in some way, yes, Lord, that just pours life into you and allows more of his spirit to flow into you. That's what we're talking about today. That's kingdom stuff. That's kingdom stuff. That gives, and it gives God the opportunity. The cool thing about kingdom stuff is you go out and do something, then God just takes it and he adds to it. He just adds to it in other people's lives, and he does. So, Lord, we pray for Kevin, what's his name? Ogren. We pray a blessing on him in Jesus' name and on the music program. And we pray, Lord, you touch them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Encourage them, Lord God, in the mighty name of the Lord. Hallelujah, Father God. We pray for all of us that we're out, we're just serving. Lord, help us, Lord, as we're just out with people's lives, involved in the various capacities deep with people's lives. Lord, if we need to kind of adjust our life metaphors or our motivations a little bit, Lord Jesus, so that we are serving you more in balance in our lives, Lord Jesus, where we're out of sync, Lord Jesus, that you'll bring us into alignment today in the name of Jesus Christ, that we would be a blessing to the people in our world and in our lives in Jesus' name. And Lord, just keep flowing it into us so we can keep flowing out in the name of God, in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, in the name, Lord, I refuse, Lord, to build bigger barns. I refuse to be a silo unto myself, Father God. Lord Jesus, what you've given me, help me, Lord Jesus, to hold it loosely, that I may be a blessing and minister and be salt in the world in which I live. In Jesus' mighty name, thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus, in your mighty name. Amen.